Baby girl, I'm so excited to announce that the enrollment is now open for the transformative Becoming Your Own Sugar Daddy 6-week course that I designed specifically with you in mind. In this course, you will embark on a journey of self-discovery, inner healing of your subconscious mind, eliminating limiting beliefs around building wealth and living an abundant life. Say goodbye to financial limitations and hello to a life of opulence. You will gain the discernment and knowledge necessary to building lasting wealth as you are guided through a clear plan and direction for creating the life you've always dreamed of. If you don't know my story, I was a broke, partying hairdresser, and then my dad unexpectedly died. And through the healing process of working on my own scarcity mindset, I was able to work less, fire clients, double my income, and travel the world. In this course, I will teach you everything I have learned so that you're able to develop unshakable confidence and embody the life you want to live. Each week includes journal prompts for you to be able to create a vision plan with actionable steps to manifest your dreams. Let go of fear and uncertainty as you take charge of your financial future. Through the 6 weeks of Becoming Your Own Sugar Daddy, you will acquire the skills and mindset needed to achieve financial independence. You will build a strong foundation of self-confidence and self-worth around money. Transform your mindset and daily habits to embrace abundance and overcome scarcity. You'll receive a lifetime access to the course, and the first 50 people to sign up and pay in full will receive a limited edition coffee mug to remind you that wealth and prosperity is your birthright. Sign up at itsconway.com and the link is in the show notes. I'm so excited to see you there, and I can't wait to hear about the transformations that happen. Hi, this is the Grieving with Gratitude podcast, and I'm your host, Conway, a spiritual psychologist. I suddenly lost my dad, and it propelled me to radically change my life. I went from a broke, burnt-out entrepreneur that was dependent on drugs and partying to a life of peace, abundance, and gratitude, making over 6 figures and traveling the world. My goal is to help you to heal your trauma and through the process become the healthiest and highest version of yourself. I believe you are here to live a life of abundance and not be a victim to your current life. Are you ready to take back your power and start to create the life you want? I am so excited for this episode of the Grieving with Gratitude podcast. I have Sarah on. She is everything mindset, grieving, nutrition, just basically everything I love. But I'm going to let her introduce herself and really what her background is first, because she can say it much better than I can.
Hey, my name is Sarah. My Instagram account is coach.sarabon. And I came into this space of online coaching about 2 years ago. I have my nutrition certification through Precision Nutrition. I am a health mindset certified coach, and I'm also a 200-hour yoga teacher trainer. So my background, what I do, I used to coach postpartum, and I realized that my story was bigger than just coaching postpartum. I found coaching after losing my mom, and after a long battle of anxiety and depression and other things, I realized, hey, your self-care is the reason that you're still here. And I was postpartum with 2 kids. I had 2 under 2, and taking care of myself became almost like my lifeline and what kept me floating. So now I do that for other people. I help you grow your grief and not get lost in your grief.
I love that. Yeah, that was like a huge thing for me, was like self-care, whatever it looked like, it was a non-negotiable for my life. And so, yeah, so I threw myself, I was never athletic or anything before my dad died. I was just like a partier. And so when he died, I was like, so I really got to figure this shit out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I completely just changed my life. And so it's so funny because I'm sure people meet you and they're like, oh, she's got it together. And you're like, you have no clue. Yeah. Yeah. What it took to get me here.
Yeah. I mean, and there's so many different days too. Like my for sure non-negotiable every day is taking a walk. It has to be a minimum of 15 minutes, but it's normally like 45 minutes to an hour. And it's like, I throw in either old school music that I love or a podcast that's going to like help just kind of revamp my brain for that day. And even on the days where I'm like deep in a grief wave, I have to get outside. Even if it's gloomy, just being outside is like my non-negotiable self-care.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's really smart too, because like just being in nature, just like kind of like you got to break the pattern of where you're at. Because if you're just going to sit in your room and ruminate on something,
yeah,
you're just going to keep spiraling versus you kind of have a pattern interrupt in some way to kind of pull you out of the funk.
Yeah. Because even, I mean, we've all had depressive days where we just lay in bed, right? And then you'll have a friend who comes over and they're like, we got to get something going on here. The first thing that they normally do is open a window, pull the shades back, open the window, get some fresh air going. And then you're like, oh, I feel a little bit better now. So then you can get up and you can go do something else. But sometimes it's like our baseline can sink so low when we're in a deep grief wave that even the smallest thing to bring us back to like feeling human is so necessary. Sometimes that step is simply just like brushing your teeth.
Oh, totally. You
know? Yeah. But that can be really hard for people who are depressed, dealing with a lot of anxiety, closed off from the world, feel very isolated. It's just something so small that just brings you back up to human a little bit, you know?
Yeah, mine was making the bed.
Yeah.
I had to get out and I had to make my bed because at least it forced me to move to another room.
Yeah.
Even if it was the couch or whatever, it got me to get up and move. And I noticed that, you know, it's a physical law, an object in motion stays in motion. So I noticed like once you start making those steps, you're able to move a little bit more. And just being able to give your great self grace, so you may not accomplish as much as you can, but just doing anything versus doing nothing was better.
You know, you said that key word there too is giving yourself grace. And that can be a fine line, but a lot of people don't understand that it's a huge part of healing, especially dealing with grief, because it's so engulfing and it can just take over your whole life and you end up feeling really guilty for it. But you shouldn't feel guilty for grieving, you know? So giving yourself grace through that, through any sort of like habit change or growth of any kind, being able to give yourself grace and see that it's okay to feel those things is very important. And a lot of times we need somebody else to give us permission to do that too, which is why I started coaching.
I love that. And honestly, it is true because like I was blessed when my dad passed away that I had two clients who had lost kids and stuff like that. And I kind of watched their grieving process and they didn't really move forward. Does that make sense? Like they sat in that anger and that rage. And so when I lost my dad, I was like, I don't want to be that. And you have to experience your emotions and like let them move so that you can get on the other side. Because if you just sit in it, you'll just stay stagnant somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's what I found where I was like, so feeling and expressing your emotions is okay.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like moving through them, not just sticking in them. That's what I like noticed a lot. So I would give myself that grace. And I still do. I'm like, I'm just having an off day and it's okay.
Yeah.
And I know it's not forever and it is for today and, or for maybe this 5 minutes, who knows, but it's okay.
Yeah.
What do you find with your clients that you, to help them kind of like see that it's okay?
Honestly, just giving them permission to feel is huge, because in society, it's like, at least in our society, you're expected to move on instantaneously. You know, it's like your friends don't want to talk about it anymore. Bereavement when you work in corporate world is what, 3 to 5 days? And that's not enough. So society puts this pressure on you that you have to be able to move through things quickly. But grief doesn't have a timeline. And once people understand that, and you're able to kind of give them tools of, okay, well, you might be feeling this way and it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay there. So what can we do to revamp your day a little bit? You have permission to be angry. You lost somebody that you love. You have permission to want to like bargain with this and like wish that they were still here. But what can you do to kind of bring yourself closer to them and kind of dig yourself up a little bit? And it's going to be different with every single client. And it's very individualized. I have some clients where it's like, we do just talk about brushing your teeth, or they go for a 5-minute walk, or they'll go for a drive and listen to music, or they'll dance by themselves in their living room. I have a lot of clients do yoga, and it's the same thing. Just like you said, energy in motion stays in motion. Energy in motion also releases energy. So when you have that pent up emotion and pent up like anger energy, have yourself a little dance party. Release it to whatever you want. It doesn't have to make sense. Just let it go somehow.
That's how I got into boxing.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
I got into boxing because I was so angry. I mean, I was doing like 3 workouts a day though, so that was a little much because I was just so anxiety and stressed. But I mean, it served its purpose for the time that I needed it. But I definitely was like, I have this energy and it needs to go somewhere constructive and it needs to get the fuck out of me. So, you know what I mean? Like it needs to go somewhere and it's not sitting here anymore. Yeah. So like I would go to boxing and like sometimes my workouts were terrible and it was okay because I just needed to show up and just be around other people. And like in a boxing room, it's like dark. I could just sit in a corner and cry part of it and just get it out. And like,
and you're not the first person who has done that.
And I won't be the last.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just like learned to move energy and my instructors knew that I would have moments there. And sometimes they would like kick me in the foot and just to let me know that, hey, I see you and you're being seen without making a scene about it, you know? So,
yes,
it's just the movement of energy, but yeah, it can be a really interesting thing too. Like I've had friends who are like, you shouldn't you just kind of be over this by now? I'm like, I don't know.
How would you feel if your dad died? You probably wouldn't just be over it, you know?
Yeah.
And even on the days where you kind of feel like happy and like lighthearted about stuff, that's still a part of grief. That doesn't mean that you're over it. It just means that today you're good with it, you know?
Yeah.
But your energy is going to be different every day.
Oh, totally. And that was like a huge thing I always talk about. And like we were even talking about in the last podcast about breakups. It was like having the mixed emotions of being really happy and really sad at the same time. And like that no one really prepares you for that. And like, feeling like, especially when he first passed away, I feel guilty about laughing.
Yeah.
I felt like I was just supposed to be crying all the time, but I would like, I had all my friends around me. So I would feel guilty about being happy that I had my friends around me. And then I was like, that's not what my dad would have wanted for me. Like, you know, so I was like, it's okay. You can feel the whole spectrum of things.
All of it. It's the spectrum. That's right. I actually, in my Facebook group, I talked about that, the grief guilt or the guilt, the lack of grief guilt almost, you know, when holidays come, birthdays come, random Saturday nights come, and you're just kind of, you're in the moment, just like moving about. And then all of a sudden in the back of your head, it's like, hey, your dad died. Hey, your mom died. And it's just like that thought comes back in and it reminds you, am I okay? Like, am I allowed to be okay? And yeah, you are allowed to be okay. Not every day is going to be a cry fest, and that's okay. You have to enjoy the good.
What did you feel? So I like always feel this because there's certain, I mean, we're all human, right? My dad was human. Your mom was human.
Yes.
And they did annoying things.
Yes.
And there was a part of me that felt like I'm going to laugh because it's like, I felt guilty for being like, God, thank God I don't have to deal with that anymore. And that's okay too. Cause like they're human. You don't have to like, do your clients struggle with that though? Like, I mean, there are certain things people do and like, that's just a part of our human nature that like we aggravate each other.
You do.
And so when they've like, you know, transitioned, you don't have to really deal with that aggravation anymore. And sometimes it's really freeing.
And that also like brings up guilt though too, because it's like there's unresolved stuff. And it's like, I want to talk about how great and wonderful she was, but she did a lot of dumb shit too. So like, where do I find, how can I still like honor the person that she was, but admit that there was stuff that she did that was like not okay, you know? So it's like almost like a, what are those, the kids things, teeter totter,
a teeter totter.
Yeah, it's like that to me. It's like one side, all that I want to do is talk about the good things, and then the other side it's like, no, you're still allowed to talk about stuff that aggravated you, annoyed you, whatever. The smallest, most minute thing that she started doing at the end or like the last like year or so, instead of saying anywho, she said anyhoot. And that T, like, it bothered me so much. I haven't really had conversations like that though with clients. We mainly just talk about their own growth, not like how they're feeling about the person that passed away. But yeah, that would be a good conversation to have on like my next community call for sure.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, think about how much baggage we hold. I mean, especially parents.
Yes.
We hold a lot of shit around our parents. And I mean, everyone does, dead or alive. You carry a lot of stuff about your parents. And I remember being like, God, I've been really, really blessed through something I would never consider a blessing. Like, my dad was extremely codependent with me. And I mean, a shocker, I was a drug addict. Like, that's codependency, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember him passing away and being like, oh my God, I have like room to breathe and grow and do things. Cause he like literally thought I was like a 14-year-old child and I was like in my 30s. So I was treated that way. And like, I felt so guilty saying that. But it was like, I was really blessed, like, to be able to flourish and figure things out on my own and become an adult and heal and work on the things that I needed to work on, like my partying and all that stuff. And his death was a catalyst of it. So sometimes in even the shittiest things, like, you can have a lot of beauty come out of it.
Absolutely. And it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really did. I mean, it was a lot of work and it was a lot of people, you know, it takes a lot of people. Like, I had coaches as well. But I kind of wanted to hear more about, how did you get to the nutrition side of it? Because all I can remember from my dad passing away is that people would buy me like whatever. They're like, you want a slice of cake? I'd be like, okay, I'm going to eat my feelings.
So it comes along. I tracked macros for a really long time. That was like the base of my nutrition coaching, was macros. And one thing that I kept noticing was, you know, I dealt with moms who had postpartum depression, who had dealt with like miscarriages and all that kind of stuff. It's, if we don't talk about emotions around food and stress and how all of that stuff impacts your overall well-being, we're not really going to get anywhere. So providing tools for them to just work through internally when it comes to the point of like, I'm just really stressed about stuff, I am depressed. A lot of clients, there's like two ways people go. They overeat completely when they're stressed or emotional, or they avoid food at all costs. There's not really a balance. And so what I work with primarily is reminding people, like, you need to eat. Like, your body still needs calories. Calories are energy. And I understand, like, you probably don't have an appetite right now, but what is something that does sound good? And is it always going to be the healthiest option? Probably not. But it's healthier than starving yourself. So I do it more from an like intuitive standpoint, less of like a, you have to hit 140 grams of protein every day type thing, because
on top of
with that. Yeah. Like,
no way.
I don't need you playing Tetris. I need you to choose foods that taste good and still help you nourish your body. Cause once they're incorporating any sort of fitness that they enjoy, when they're actually eating breakfast, and again, it's a form of self-care. Feeding yourself is a form of self-care that just kind of reinstills like, hey, it's okay. I'm still moving. I deserve to nourish my body and I feel much better. And when you feel better, it's easier for you to manage your emotions and move through 100%. The day-to-day. Yeah. And that's one thing everybody says is like, the day-to-day is when it's the hardest. So when you have somebody like, hey, maybe your goal is just eat breakfast and that's okay. But when you have somebody checking in on you, holding you accountable for taking care of yourself in those deep grief moments, it's huge. So that's kind of where I go for that, is more an intuitive standpoint.
Yeah. All I can remember is like eating a tremendous amount of Greek food and fruit. That's like all I wanted. Was
that sounds
food.
Delicious.
I know. Honestly, it was solid.
Yeah.
No complaints.
Yeah.
But I had like a refrigerator just full of Greek food and fruit because it was like all weird snacky things, you know, like you didn't have to eat it all together. Mm. So But like, what were the biggest things for you, like, to help with your clients, like, to kind of like, because you're basically helping them reprogram their lives into like having self-care and like creating those structured boundaries to give themselves grace. So like, what is kind of like the first steps that you, or like, what are the most important things that you really look at for, you know, helping people start that direction without making them feel super overwhelmed?
I like to ask what the hardest thing for them to do is first, and what the easiest one is, and what falls kind of in the middle. And we gauge it off of that. My clients set their own goals, but I ask all of the questions to kind of help guide them in that direction. So let's say I have a client who cannot get out of bed. Like you're stuck in bed. If that's the hardest thing for them, then I ask what the easiest thing is. The easiest thing might be taking a shower. It might be the opposite for other ones. So we kind of have to meet in the middle. Like, what do you think would make it easier for you to get out of bed? Can you set your phone across the room? Not sleep with your phone next to you? Will that get you out of bed in the morning? Most of the time they say yes. Then we can move the phone a little bit farther away. Or if it's, you know, I used to exercise 5 times a week and I haven't gone in 3 weeks. Well, what kind of exercise sounds like it might be good for you? Sometimes we'll start with just yoga in their room and something like that. It's starting off small and building off of that until they catch that momentum and they can propel themselves a little bit farther. But I work in like 4, 6, 12 month increments. So it's not just like, this isn't a 6 week challenge. This is helping you heal and navigate grief waves as they come. And there's no right or wrong, but it depends on the person and what they're struggling with the most.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense because grief is so different. You know, you can't do like a 12, you can't even do like really a 12 week. You would need it to be longer, like quarters, because it's so different and it evolves so differently.
And it impacts every, like me, my sister, I'm the baby. I have an older sister and an older brother. We all lost the same person, but we all handled it completely differently. And we're siblings, you know? So it hits everybody differently. It also depends on like who they lost to, you know? Like I can only imagine the pain of losing a child. I don't have any clients who have lost children other than miscarriages, but I have friends who have. They're not my clients though. And I see that pain. And that's something that I would work completely different at. You might not even be able to go into your baby's room. You know what I mean? It's like that room might be off limits for a long time. Going through your loved one's things as a part of grief, so insanely heavy. And we might just block that off for a little bit and work on maybe moving closer to the room or using a cup that they liked or something like that. You know, it's baby
Yeah.
steps.
It is all really baby steps, especially like even going through stuff. The stuff is like so overwhelming, and people want to be so helpful and like help you with it. But it's like, this timetable is like not really ideal. That's like the hardest
All of my
part.
mom's stuff is still in one of our closets.
I literally just recently downsized some of my dad's stuff. And I mean, it's been 4 years, you know, and I recently did it where I was like, okay, I'm ready to look at photo albums, you know? And like, I pulled all the pictures I wanted of my dad and I, and I put them away in a separate photo album. But like his journals, my grandma typed them for me, which was really nice because he died without a will. So we were hoping maybe it was in the journals, and so she transcribed them. I haven't been able to read those. You know, like I won't even open it, and it's okay. I'm not going to beat myself up that I can't do it or I'm not strong or any of those things that we like create these stories about ourselves. I'm just not. I don't need to do it right now.
See, I think you're strong for recognizing that.
Oh, well, thank you. I
You're
just
welcome.
think I wanted to hold space for people that you don't have to get through it. Especially on Instagram, it looks like we're doing so great. You know, it's always, we're always going to post the highlight reel. And so that's why I will go on Instagram or TikTok and cry, just so people get that it isn't always perfect. Like the lives that we've created were a lot of work. Like what you've created has taken a lot of strength and energy, and you're a mom on top of it, of two very little kids.
3 and 2.
Yeah, which is wild. And you're helping clients, you know, like that's a lot. And even with you helping clients, I'm sure that there's certain things that your clients say that kind of bring up a response for you because you kind of forgot about it. And then they kind of give you a reminder, and it, you have those days. So I think it's just understanding that not everything has to look a specific way, and it doesn't have to look how you've been doing things or how I've been doing things or our timetables. It's all your timetable.
Yeah, it's true. Totally. It's, I had always heard about like the 5 stages of grief, you know, and then a few months ago, I was listening to another podcast and the name David Kessler was brought up. And his life is 100% grief. Like he works with his local police station. He works for cancer centers. He lost his mom at a young age. He lost adoptive sons. Like he's lost a lot of people and he does a lot of work around grief. But he says that the 6th stage of grief is finding meaning. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, that like really resonated with my heart. I was like, I could actually do something with this, because when you talk about your pains and how you've gotten through it and how you can help people through it, it opens up the door for other people to talk about their pain. And the only, all that you can do is shine light and bring up brightness and help people see that it's, you're not going to be in the trenches forever. Like it's okay to talk about it when it's feeling heavy. You should be talking about it more. Same thing, energy moves energy. So if it's like stuck in you, you have to get it out somehow. So having a coach or a community where you can openly talk about things that are hard for you is so insanely beneficial. And that's why I do what I do.
100%. Like an upset turns into sadness, like an unexpressed upset turns into sadness, which turns into depression. It's just like a snowball effect if you don't release it, you know? And I really do. I think it's so, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, the blessing in the really shit sandwich is that through things that are the hardest struggles is that is what will grow you the most and create meaning and purpose. Like, what he created, what you've created, you know, like even the Grieving with Gratitude podcast is all, we're like, you know, we're created by something that wasn't necessarily something we wanted.
Yeah.
But it can give a tremendous amount of hope to other people. I always say that I would love to, I'll gladly embarrass myself if to help someone not feel alone.
100%. Yes. Yes.
So what are your,
right off, let me crack the seal. We'll get this out in the open. We'll go.
Yeah. And I feel so much relief from it. So even from a selfish standpoint, I feel great.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you express yourself, you're like, I feel good so
knowing
good
that I helped somebody else feel good. Yes. Yeah. Totally.
Or just like the first time I did it, like, and like, I'm sure you get this a lot in your DMs because you're really expressive about your journey, is when someone's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. You're like, what? I was just crying in my car. I'm glad that someone else has been feeling this way and they don't feel so isolated or like they have to be perfect or feel a certain way.
But I think that's, we all learned a deep lesson in 2020 though, when we all had to be like away from other people. What we learned is that everybody desires more authentic engagement. Like that. We all desire to be around people still, even more so now because we were away from them for so long. So like, fling me into all the communities. I want to see everybody be their complete vulnerable self. I want to know the weird shit about you. Like, open up. You don't have to be quiet. So be a weirdo. That's
I love
why
it.
I Myers has like millions of followers.
Wait, who?
Elise Myers.
Oh, yeah.
The taco story.
Yeah.
She shows up with her hair like curly and wild all the time. And like, she's just 100% herself. And the reason why she has so many followers is just because she's who she is.
Yeah, true.
Keep doing it. Gotta keep being you.
I love that. Okay, so what are your like go-to non-negotiable self-care things for you now? Like, how long has it been since you lost your mom, first off?
It was 3 years on May 29th.
Okay, so now, 3 years later, what are your non-negotiables other than just not walk or other than walking?
Eat breakfast, yoga, and walking.
See, it's like all these simple things and we make so much out of everything. That's why I always like telling people, I'm like, it's not doing the most. It's literally doing the least.
Yeah. Because when you do the most, you get so overwhelmed anyways. So it's like, you have to find small things that help.
Totally.
And those small things for me help a lot.
Yeah.
Bonus points if you're walking by water.
Yeah. I think that there's so much to be said about the movement of energy, because it's literally moving energy is water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it just feels different when you are around a moving body of water.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you're in Southern California, right?
So I'm in Southern California and in Nashville, but I'm overlooking the river, the Cumberland River in Nashville. So I do walk around. I still have water, which is very crucial. Yeah. But it's so funny because I've interviewed so many people in like the self-care and coaching industry on my podcast from all different modalities and everything. And every single person that does a self-care routine, it's literally not a bunch of shit. Like it is like five things, maybe.
Yeah,
and they're like,
you don't need a 17-step skincare routine. I don't care about your LED face mask. Like, keep it simple. Keep it stuff that makes sense to you and helps you feel better. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And you consistently show up for it because it's not a arduous like thing that you've created for yourself. The whole point is to be able to show up for yourself and keep your commitments to yourself 100%. Consistently.
Yes.
So if you do a 17-thing skincare thing, what if you're tired one day? I'm not going to do that. That's going to be the first thing that is out. I mean, I even wash my face. I don't know. I might be a dirtbag that day. I'm not sure. But like, it is like so interesting that everyone's got the same thing. It's always every single person. There's something to do with movement, like a physical activity with their body.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spiritual element, whether it's meditating for 5 minutes, journaling for 5 minutes, doing something that just kind of like, I don't know, gets your brain moving, reading.
Yeah.
And eating a nutritious meal. Literally every single person, those are their self-care things. And they're very simple.
Mine are things that I can do in the morning.
That's also very key. Yeah.
If you wait, if you put everything off to fill your own cup at the end of the night, it's not going to get done. Especially as somebody with kids, like you're going to get your ass kicked all day, right, from your children. And then at the end of the night, it's like, did you save your workout for the end of the night? Because now you're tired and it's 8:30 and I know you're just going to sit down and probably watch New Girl. So
yeah,
got to find a different time frame, simplify it, move it to the morning. It can be something that takes 5 minutes and that's okay. But yeah, mine has to be in the morning.
Yeah. It's like the path of least resistance. If you can, or knocking out the hardest thing first, like, unless you're like a super gym junkie, no one really loves working out that much.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
No. Like, even for me, when people are like, you love working out, I'm like, no, I love my brain after I work out. Yeah. Like, that's mostly what I love. Whatever my body looks like afterwards, dope. But like, I need this for my mental health.
Yes. 100% agree.
I love what you're doing for people. It's just like so amazing that like, that's what your calling has been, you know, like you already were doing something, like you were working with postpartum and then it evolved into something else, which is just so amazing that you're able to help people in that way.
Thank you. It feels good. I'm glad. I have a lot of big goals for what this will become. I want to host like at least 2 retreats a year. just to solidify that community feeling. It's going to be like a lot of breath work, yoga, nature, but women need each other at the end of the day, especially when you're going through something so hard. You need other people that you can lean on. And to be frank, like, that person is not always going to be your best friend that you've known since kindergarten. Like, those might be the worst people to lean on in that time. You know, you need people who understand what it feels like.
Totally. Yeah, that is so wild, because literally the people that showed up for me when my dad died were people so unexpected. They were like beauty bloggers that I'd met at different, you know, influencer events. And we just followed each other on social media, and we never really had actually hung out in person. Like, people like that were the people that showed up to my house when they heard about what happened. And the people that I was super close with, not a fucking word. It is very wild. And I had to get over the fact that, like, I was like so hurt by it, because people just don't, death is like a very weird thing, especially in America. We don't talk about it. We, like you said, 3 to 5 days of bereavement is corporate America. Like, people don't know how to handle it, and they don't know how to handle people that have lost someone. And so it's like a very brave thing to step into someone's bubble to, you know, be there for them and support them, especially when they have no idea what to do with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're like, I don't know, I'll just bring her food, I guess.
So which is great. Like, that helps a lot. But what I desperately wanted and needed in my time, I mean, I understand, like, it was May 2020. We had BLM riots happening everywhere. So, like, nobody felt safe going outside.
Oh my God. Yeah. Outside.
Everybody was wearing a mask, and you were told to, like,
you were super isolated. Grocery
store. Super isolated. I lived in a really small town out here in Arizona, and I was 5 months pregnant, and my daughter was 7 months old. So, all that I wanted was somebody to just, like, hang out with me, you know, like, we didn't have to talk about that, but I just wanted, like, somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that. So that made it really hard.
Yeah. That's brutal. Yeah. I was blessed to be able to not be during COVID, to be able to have people around me. But after, like, the first week, you're, like, inundated with people, and then all of a sudden there's no one.
Yeah.
And then that is the part where it was really hard, because I'm in my early 30s at the time, and I didn't know anyone that had lost a parent so young, because my dad was 56. So, like, I met people that they lost their parents, like, extremely young, right? Like, when they're kids, so they don't remember them. Or they've lost them when they're, like, old and in a retirement home. But, like, that middle ground of, like, where your parents become your friends, that was super hard, because I didn't really have anyone to kind of talk to about it. And so I kind of made jokes about the dead parents club. So, like, when you meet someone else who, like, lost their parents when they're, like, 20 or 30, you're like, oh, cool, you're part of the dead parents club. You know what it's like.
Yes.
Because, like, by that time, your parents are your friends. And they're like your best friend. So you're like, oh, like, okay.
Welcome to the club. I know you didn't want to be a member, but here we are.
Yeah, we're actually pretty cool. But I think that's so cool that you're going to offer a place for other people to, like, just meet up and be a part of it. Like, that is so cool to be able to be around that community and create that space, specifically for people that are in the dead parents club or the, you know, death bereavement club.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just like, so cool that was the calling that's on your life, and something you probably never expected for yourself.
Never expected. No, I expected, by this age, I expected to just, like, be living in a van and traveling the United States, and that never happened. So,
well, it's still good.
Yeah.
Wait, your retreats are going to take off, and you're going to become a digital nomad with 2 kids that are homeschooled.
Yes. That would be so cool.
Dude, you can still do it. There's still time.
Awesome. Yeah.
They're 3 and 2.
Yeah. My daughter will be 4 in October, and my son will be 3 in December.
Oh, see, you still got time. They're going to be in school for, like, 2 more years.
Yep.
For a year. Yeah. You got this.
Yes.
I love that. Okay, so what is like, what, so you have siblings. So how do your siblings dealt with what you've created, like, you know, you've created through grieving and everything? Like, what is their take on it? Because everyone obviously grieves differently, and your siblings probably all grieved totally differently than you.
I haven't asked my brother what his opinion is on it. I know his wife is very supportive. So he probably is too. He's older than me. He's 39. He'll be 39 in October. But he grieved by not talking about it at all.
Oh, cool.
So he's the, what would be classified as like the practical griever. Of just like going on about his day.
Like, this doesn't serve me, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he might cry at home, but I've seen him cry like maybe twice in my entire life. So we do the same thing every year on a birthday. We get the birthday text from him, and we are very close, but we just don't talk about how he's grieving, you know? And then my sister did a year of therapy through hospice. So she went that route. I didn't because I lived outside of their range. But she, you know, has linked me up with like small businesses around the area, like newsletters and stuff like that to get word out of what I'm doing. So I know she's
that's dope.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We live 0.2 miles away from each other. So we're
very, very close.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, I can walk to your house. It's fine.
Yes. Yes, I can.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, so let's do
lightning round.
Our lightning round.
Yeah.
Let me find my post-it note somewhere. I'm baking in my house right now. I can't put my air conditioning on because you can hear it. And so
Oh, no. Literally. Wait, are you in Nashville today?
I'm in Nashville today and it's 82 outside.
That's probably
okay,
so
I think good. It's actually not that bad. Okay. Today it's not. Normally it's like, I'll be like, hey, Google, what's the temperature today? It'll be like, 81, but feels like 95 with humidity. You're like, so I'm not going to go outside.
I lived in Nashville for like 4 years.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How dope. How old were you when you lived here?
I moved there when I was 22 or 20, 23, 24, maybe. And then I moved to Arizona when I was 27.
Oh, dope. Dude, you must have had so much fun when you're in your early 20s living here.
No, I like hated it.
Oh, okay. Well,
I worked at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs.
Oh, yeah. Cool Springs is a little bit of a different cup of tea.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I live right at the Data Institute right there. So I live.
Oh, fun.
There. Yeah. It was
oh my
fun.
God, you're a hairdresser too?
I was for a little bit, yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, done a variety of things.
I love that. That's so fun. Okay, lightning round. What was the last book you read or favorite book?
I would have to say, honestly, my favorite book that I've like sped through, Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins.
Love it.
Sped through that one super quick. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's when you know it's a good book, when you can read it in like 2 days.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Solid. If money was an option, where would you spend your time and what would you be doing?
If money was no option, I would be traveling.
You're the second one to say that. Yeah. What's your guilty pleasure?
Probably watching New Girl.
Oh, that's so good.
I watch New Girl over and over and over again.
Dude, my friend Tanya watches The Office over and over and over again. So.
Another great show. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Great background noise. Mm-hmm. And what was the last one? Because I'm coming up with them from memory. Oh, favorite Instagram account that you follow?
Honestly, probably Feel Good Dietitian.
Ooh, I love it.
She's an intuitive eating dietitian, but she's just she shows up, like, she doesn't wear makeup. She doesn't use filters. Like, she just shows up as she is and gives such amazing nutrition advice and is very, like, anti-diet culture. And it just, she does it in, like, a really good, positive, happy way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I hate when it gets, like, aggro. Sometimes I get a little aggro and I'm like,
I mean, there's a time and a place for it, you know, but
not all the time. It's hard to watch.
Yeah. She's just a very like lighthearted person.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait to follow her and see what she does too.
So that's nice. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Okay. Where can everyone find you?
I am on Instagram at coach.sarahbon, B-O-N. And that's where you can find me. I'm not on TikTok, so.
And then you also have a digital journal, right?
I do. I have a nutrition journal. It's called Heal Your Shit, and it has 16 intuitive eating questions, and it's 12 weeks worth of journaling about like how you feel in your body, how you're feeling like for the week, like just kind of a way to check in with yourself. But the intuitive eating questions are where the money's at for sure.
Dope. Yeah. I'm going to link all of it in the show notes so people can go purchase it and everything. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me and this space. I've enjoyed following you on Instagram for the past couple of weeks. So I'm so glad that we are able to connect.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thanks, girl. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So here's a word from our sponsor.
Baby girl, I'm so excited to announce that the enrollment is now open for the transformative Becoming Your Own Sugar Daddy 6-week course that I designed specifically with you in mind. In this course, you will embark on a journey of self-discovery, inner healing of your subconscious mind, eliminating limiting beliefs around building wealth and living an abundant life. Say goodbye to financial limitations and hello to a life of opulence. You will gain the discernment and knowledge necessary to building lasting wealth as you are guided through a clear plan and direction for creating the life you've always dreamed of. If you don't know my story, I was a broke, partying hairdresser, and then my dad unexpectedly died. And through the healing process of working on my own scarcity mindset, I was able to work less, fire clients, double my income, and travel the world. In this course, I will teach you everything I have learned so that you are able to develop unshakable confidence and embody the life you want to live. Each week includes journal prompts for you to be able to create a vision plan with actionable steps to manifest your dreams. Let go of fear and uncertainty as you take charge of your financial future. Through the 6 weeks of Becoming Your Own Sugar Daddy, you will acquire the skills and mindset needed to achieve financial independence. You will build a strong foundation of self-confidence and self-worth around money. Transform your mindset and daily habits to embrace abundance and overcome scarcity. You'll receive a lifetime access to the course, and the first 50 people to sign up and pay in full will receive a limited edition coffee mug to remind you that wealth and prosperity is your birthright. Sign up at itsconway.com and the link is in the show notes. I'm so excited to see you there, and I can't wait to hear about the transformations that happen. Hey guys, I am so excited to announce that I have released my first edition of my 60-day self-love guided digital journal that is available on Etsy at the store Higher Conversations. This is the first in a series of guided journals that will be centered around different topics to help you reprogram your subconscious mind, boost your confidence, and help you become your highest version. I intentionally created these digital journals to be simple and easy to follow because let's be real, we're all real busy and we aren't trying to do the most, we're just trying to heal. Because you're a listener of the Grieving with Gratitude podcast, I created the promo code Conway to use at checkout. You can find the link in the show notes below. Happy journaling!
Hey guys, so if you know me, you know how much I love electrolytes, and I really believe in hydration because most of the time when we think that we're hungry, we're actually not. We're just extremely dehydrated. So I try to focus most of my energy on just being as hydrated as possible, and I'm able to achieve that with RF Supplements electrolyte powder. So I'm so excited to partner up with them. I love their whole product line, from their liquid fat burners to their protein powder, which is delicious, as well as their sleep aid tablets and their pre-workout, which doesn't make me feel like I'm going crazy. So you can purchase any of these online. Follow them on Instagram at RF_Supps, SUPPS, and use RFS Conway at checkout for a discount. Thank you so much for joining me on the Grieving with Gratitude podcast, knowing that you can be blessed through something you would never consider a blessing. If you're ready to transform your trauma into triumph, create the life you want to live, break generational curses, and just level up, please feel free to reach out to me for one-on-one sessions at Conway Is Rad across all social platforms. If you love this show, share it with a friend, and please leave a 5-star review. Have a beautiful day, and I cannot wait to catch up with you on the next episode.